listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor today, the Reverend Dr. James Nill from Concordia Lutheran Church in Triangle, Virginia. Good morning, Pastor Nill.
Good morning.
God's peace to you. Thanks for being our guest this morning. I'm looking forward to studying God's Word with you.
All right.
Tell us about Concordia Lutheran Church in Triangle, Virginia.
Well, Triangle is just outside the gate at Quantico, which is the home of much of the training of the Marine Corps and also the FBI Academy. Back in the late 1950s, Chaplain Ernie Ernstmeyer, who was stationed at Quantico at the time, talked to the folks in the Southeastern District about the possibility of the Lutheran Church there to serve the military personnel. And the district thought that was a good idea and had a pastor by the name of Fred Vanderlage come and start a mission here. At that time, the whole community was beginning to develop, and the area around Woodbridge was growing as well. So Pastor Vanderlage worked with both areas. And then Grace Church came out of that in Woodbridge, and Concordia continued at Triangle. I came in 1964 as the second pastor. Since that time, we've helped in one way or another with the startup of churches in Fredericksburg and Stafford, and to a much smaller extent in Manassas. So that's kind of been our calling, as well as most recently, well, in the last dozen years or so, since we are in a community that is sort of mixed in its economic situation, has a number of people who could benefit from a food and clothing ministry. And so under God's guidance, literally under God's guidance, because we were praying for some direction on what our ministry might be, that became clear to us and began this ministry. And then shortly after that, as God works, there was a young man who was confirmed here at Concordia a number of years ago and had gone on to work for Arby's and rose to senior management positions and then retired from that position, moved back to the area. And since he had a great connection with food, he became the director of our food ministry. And then, as the Synod developed its specific ministry program, and John was very much interested in becoming a pastor, he went through that program, and so now he's with us as a pastor on our small staff and the director of our food ministry. So God has worked some very good things here in Triangle.
Well, thanks be to God for the ministry of Concordia Lutheran Church serving so many people in Triangle, Virginia. That's wonderful to hear. We are studying Hebrews chapter 3 today, verses 1 through 19. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we begin to look at this text?
Well, the author the book of Hebrews, really it's a sermon. The entire book is pretty much is a sermon, except for the last few verses. Was writing it, seemed pretty obviously, to Jewish Christians and reminded them, as he calls them, brothers, that they share in a heavenly calling. They'd come to know and believe in Jesus as their Messiah. They have a heavenly calling, a calling from the true God. And that's true for Jews today, by the way. They have a heavenly calling to believe in the true Messiah who's already come for them as for all. Genesis 12, you know, to Abraham, God told him that his in his seed all the nations would bless themselves or be a blessing. There are a number of folks from the Jewish but also non-Jewish community that that God reached out through to, even in the Old Testament, Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, the Ninevites, Bathsheba. And then God said he'd give his servant as a covenant for the people and a light for the nations. Chapter Genesis 49, God had sent his servant as a light for the nations, and his salvation would reach the ends of the earth. So the brothers are initially the Jewish Christians, but then really the Jews of all areas, and Muslims who have the same father, Abraham, and of course then Christ is for all the nations. So the brothers thing sort of is expansive. And then he talks about considering Jesus, prophets. You could see in this section where he describes Jesus really according to his threefold office of prophet, priest, and really and king as well. He's the apostle of our confession. He's the messenger, the ambassador of the truth of God's salvation. He's a priest, the high priest of our confession, who made sacrifices for the people. And the high priest did once a year, going into the Holy of Holies to sprinkle blood on the Ark, the Kippuret, which gives its name to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Jesus is the high priest, also the sacrifice, the lamb, foreshadowed in the spreading of the blood of the pure lamb on the doorposts and the lintels of all who believed. And the angel of death passed over those houses. The blood of this lamb now saves all who believe in him from eternal death. And of course, Jesus is the king who is faithful over God's house, the church, as a son. And Jesus is faithful to him who appointed him. The interesting thing about that, Jesus is faithful to him who appointed him. That's sort of one mystery of the Trinity, because Jesus, you know, his God, according to his divine nature, was appointed by God for his ministry and mission. And he was faithful in his person, the true God, but also true man.
True God, true man is the Jesus we're talking about today as we're studying Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 19 with the Reverend Dr. James Nill from Concordia Lutheran Church in Triangle, Virginia. If you have a question on the text here in Hebrews chapter 3, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727.
Then in that first paragraph, the author is also talking about Jesus as superior to Moses. You know, he said Moses was faithful in all God's house, but and Moses is faithful, kind of a parallel but lesser relationship. Moses has no divine nature, and his faithfulness is to all God's house, the church. Jesus' faithfulness is to his mission, which is to the whole world. God so loved the world that he gave his one son. So Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, just as more glory goes to the builder of the house, and he has more honor than the house of himself. I think being connected to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and thinking of our seminary in Fort Wayne that was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, if I'm not mistaken, so he received much honor and attention as the designer of that of those buildings, but yet the buildings, of course, those from him continue to serve in many ways, and it's sort of a parallel to what was described in those verses. Although Jesus has much more glory, he's the builder. Moses is among that which is built, but the builder, as all things, comes from God, belongs to God.
Let's take a look at the text, Hebrews chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. All right, so let's take a look. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Holy brothers, what a way to address them.
Right, and as I said, that's God's people, the Jewish people, but yet the invitation is for all, for Jews, Muslims, Christians, and who have this heavenly calling. It's a great gift from God, no doubt about it.
You share in a heavenly calling. Consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who is faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. Jesus and Moses, both faithful.
Right, and then Jesus is Moses is sort of the type. Jesus fulfills it all. Moses was limited in that his ministry, though it was faithful, was to the Jewish people, the children of Israel. And Jesus carries that on and is the one who is, his mission is to the entire world. So it expands beyond that mission in Moses' faithfulness.
Mm.
He was faithful as a servant to testify things that were to be spoken later, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. The text goes on.
For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has, more honor than the house itself. Tell me about this honor.
Well, he is, of course, the Son of God, deserves that honor. Moses deserved great honor. He was a servant at his level and faithful at his level, and a great servant of God. Jesus, faithful as a son, the Son of God, and his mission then to the whole world expands even beyond what Moses was able to do.
Hmm. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. I remember it's been over probably a decade now, probably about a decade ago. That was the theme verse, the theme text for Vacation Bible School one summer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God.
Yes. So God is the creator. He builds all things, but then he builds the church, and he invites us into it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. tell us about Moses's vocation. He was faithful in all God's house, a servant to testify to things that were to be spoken later.
Right, he was faithful in his role as a servant, as we're called to be faithful in our role as servants of our Lord. But the text goes on to talk about Christ being faithful over God's house as a son, so more intimate in the family itself. Christ represents the one who serves, who's in all things. Moses testified to the things that were to be spoken later. He wrote about the prophet God would raise up after him in Deuteronomy. So Moses did talk about those things which would be coming. Of course, is the author of the first five books of the Bible. And he wrote about God's promise to Adam and Eve. And then, of course, that God would raise up a prophet like him. He said the prophecy in the garden, as I mentioned, about, and then also to Abraham, that Abraham's seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Later, the scepter would not depart from Judah until the tribute comes to him. And even from Balaam, a star shall come out of Jacob and a ruler out of Israel. So Moses, faithful, also was prophetic in that he pointed toward the one who would come after him and yet would be greater than him.
But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope.
Yes. Not in ourselves, for it's Christ who saved us by his blood and his innocent suffering and death. And so that's our allegiance, and he's happily the one who has come to bring us into that house.
Looking over these first six verses, Pastor, anything else that you'd like for us to know before we go on to the next section?
I think that's good, and this whole section talks about Christ's superiority. The previous section about Hebrews about his superiority over angels, and now his superiority over Moses. But then he moves, as you're about to help us know, into the danger of falling from this faith. So maybe it'd be good to go on.
We're studying the Daily New Testament Reading with Dr. James Nill, pastor at Concordia Lutheran Church in Triangle, Virginia. If you have a question or a comment on the text in Hebrews chapter 3 today, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
One easy way to share the hope and comfort we have in Christ is through liturgical cards and art. Agnus Dei Liturgical Arts provides that assurance, as each card contains a Bible verse meant to bring comfort to the receiver. The cards can be used throughout the year. Agnus Dei Arts selection of reproductions are also perfect for your home, your pastor, seminary students, or confirmation. AgnusDeiArts.com. That's AgnusDeiArts.com.
Hi, I'm Cornel Kenny, a senior at Lutheran High School North in St. Louis. A good education opens doors. Because of my college prep training at Lutheran North, I'm set up for success in college and throughout the rest of my life. More importantly, my school has helped to grow my faith, giving me the foundation for lifelong Christian service and leadership. Have you checked out Lutheran schools lately? Learn more at lhsnstl.org. That's lhsnstl.org.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We're studying the daily New Testament reading with the Reverend Dr. James Nill, pastor at Concordia Lutheran Church in Triangle, Virginia. We're in Hebrews chapter 3 today. Pastor, are we ready to pick up at verse 7?
Yes, indeed.
Here we go. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways, as I swore in my wrath. They shall not enter my rest. Let's take a look at that before we go on to the next paragraph. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Pastor?
This is a quotation from Psalm 95. It's interesting that Psalm begins with some words that are pretty familiar to us as we... because it's the Venite in the order of Matins. So come, let us sing to the Lord, make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation, God of our salvation, and so on. But then it shifts pretty suddenly to this warning. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today hear His voice, and so on. The reference is to this rebellion. Meribah and Massa are described in the Psalm. Meribah means dispute, and Massa testing, from Exodus 17. The Israelites on their Exodus journey complained of having no water while they camped at Rephidim, and God had Moses strike a rock there at Horeb, and the water came forth. You may remember St. Paul referred to this incident and connected it with Christ, who is our spiritual rock from whom spiritual refreshment comes. The warning, though, is about provoking God, and provoking is really not believing, not trusting in God, because He had promised to take them out of slavery in Egypt. He did that. He was leading them on the way, but then they lost their faith and trust in Him. They didn't believe in Him, and so they were provoking Him by their unbelief. Really, He is the one that brings salvation, as the Israelites were saved from slavery in Egypt. So He saved us from slavery to sin, and we're warned not to provoke Him, and that provoking is really through unbelief. Those who provoke the Lord, who don't believe in the salvation He worked for them through His sacrifice of His only begotten Son for them, will never enter His rest. That's the truth. And, of course, the ultimate Sabbath rest, more than that, and more than the rest for God's people when they enter the promised land, but eternal rest, which comes through our salvation and our life with God in heaven, freed from sin and its curse forever. So it's a warning. There are some folks who claim that once you become a believer, you can't really fall. Well, I think Hebrews makes that clear, that we need to be on our guard all the time, because there is a possibility of falling from faith, provoking God and losing that heavenly rest.
Anything else up through verse 11 before we look at 12 and following?
Well, I think that that's fairly clear. It's a reference that would be familiar to the Jewish community about the Exodus journey and about the people's rebellion against God, their unbelief, and in fact, the text says in one place their bodies were scattered on the desert floor as they would not enter the promised land. They lost their rest. So it's important for us to take that and to heed that warning and to remain in the faith that God has called us to, and the Holy Spirit who has worked in our heart, and not to fall from it. That would not be good for us in any way, nor would it honor the God who has saved us.
Verse 12, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. So take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God.
Yes. Continues the warning. So remembering that this is a sermon, that would be a word of encouragement to the faithful to remain firm in that faith. That's one thing that pastors do. We encourage the flock that comes around to and worships the Lord to remain in that faith and not to take him for granted, not to fall away from that faith, because the consequences would not be good. So it's a warning to all believers, and a specific warning to believers about the possibility of falling away from God. It can be seen as a general warning for all whose hearts are not with the true God. Because one of the blessings of being believers is that we have a care for others that will lead us to exhort each other, that we not fall away or be away from God and the salvation he provided in Jesus, that we not have hardened hearts that will refuse to believe and receive this great gift from God. So it's for our encouragement and also our warning.
But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by this deceitfulness of sin. So, as long as it is called today.
Yeah. So, the good news in that is that today is today. And it will be today, tomorrow, and the day after that. It is always today. So, the encouragement is, as you may have found yourself slipping from faith in Christ or doubting, that to hear this call today to return and not to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin looks attractive. It would be that which would take you away from God, to trust in something or someone else than the true God. That's deceitfulness. As you wake up and become alert to that, the blessing is that our Savior has won forgiveness for you, and it is always today. Today is the time to return. Today is the time to come to him, and that's really important for us to know.
For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion.
Right, again, referring back to that rebellion. Of course, God's people rebelled more than once on that journey, and were, whether they knew it or not, blessed by God's giving them consequences, which alerted them to the danger and the risk of turning away from him. Even as they were about to enter the promised land, and they sent the spies ahead, and as you may recall, 10 of the 12 reported that the odds looked terrible, and they wouldn't be able to occupy this land, losing their faith and trust in God again. So it cost them, failing to trust in the God who has saved us, redeemed us, guides us, leads to things that are consequences in this life and in the life to come. So things that we would not want. The encouragement is to stay with God and not to turn away from him.
For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt, led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell into the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief.
Right, so that's the key. It is, what is disobedience? The principal disobedience is unbelief. God has redeemed us and called us to rejoice and benefit from this free gift of salvation for our sins. And turning from that is, in fact, a rebellion. It is disobedience. And so the encouragement is to stay with him. So there are really kind of three things in this text that stand out. I don't know if you want to summarize at this point or not, but shows that Jesus is superior to Moses, shows the possibility of falling from faith, and it talks about entering our heavenly rest. You probably know, and many of the hearers know, that there are some who believe that the only legitimate Sabbath rest is the rest of worshiping only on Saturday. That goes back to the regulations in the Old Testament, which were fulfilled by Christ, and really misses the point about the concept of rest as God offers it to us. When he created, finished creating, he rested on the seventh day. It wasn't that he was tired, but the basic meaning of the word the Sabbath is, or that rest, is to cease from work. And so God ceased from his work on the seventh day, and then the people honored that by cessation of work on the seventh day, until the coming of the one who fulfilled all those the sacrificial requirements and paid for all the sins of disobeying any of God's laws in Christ. And so when Christ came and paid for those sins, his rest was his victorious return to heaven following the completion of his work. He ceased that work of effecting our salvation by his suffering, his death, and then his resurrection. And then he points ahead toward the eternal rest which God has for us, where we will finally have that rest with him forever. I was thinking about the three areas of resting, and you can almost see a comparison there to God's three kingdoms. God initially, the kingdom of power, the kingdom of grace, and the kingdom of glory. When God ceased his creating work, his creation certainly showed that he is the God of power. He rested in that area. Jesus paid for our sins, and then he rested from the work of our redemption, so that in introducing the kingdom of grace. And then finally, he holds out for us that heavenly rest, which is the kingdom of glory, which is to come. Kind of a neat connection there with those elements of who God is and what he has done in his kingdoms.
Looking over the text as a whole, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text today?
Well, as I mentioned, I think three things stand out. In the sermon, the author is saying, remember Jesus. We're brothers together. Remember Jesus. He is the one who is given this servant role, which he fulfilled so perfectly and so well. And even though the Jewish community would remember Moses as the one who was a great leader and who built the house in his day as a servant, a faithful servant, Jesus is superior because the house that he builds is not just that particular house of Israel as it was moving into the Promised Land, but the house that he builds is the church, which is global for all people. He died for the sins of all. So Jesus is superior to Moses in that regard. And then to recognize that this faith that God works in us is something we can lose. To be sure that we hold on to this faith, that we remain connected with God's Word and His sacrament, those things which the Holy Spirit uses not only to generate faith, but also to strengthen faith. And for those who may be on the perimeter, having moved away from this connection with God, this Holy Week is probably a good time to think about that, to think about what Jesus has done and what he's done for everybody, and that in his faithfulness He opened the way for rest, not just from rest from the demands of the law, but rest from the curse of sin, and points the way to a heavenly rest. So he is superior. He brings us into this great rest that God has for us, and he is the one it is proper to follow and to remain with at all times.
We've been studying the daily New Testament reading with the Reverend Dr. James Nill, pastor at Concordia Lutheran Church in Triangle, Virginia. Dr. Nill, thanks so much for being our guest pastor today, helping us study in Hebrews chapter 3.
It's been good to be here, and blessings to you and your work.
Well, thank you. God bless you and all the saints at Concordia Lutheran Church in Triangle, Virginia. Coming up in just a little bit, sacred music to sanctify your morning. Morning prayer on the way as well. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.